I don't have a formal bio on Keenan, so I'm just going to make up a few things and see how close I come. If I understand correctly, he was born and raised in San Antonio, Texas, and he went to school in Austin at University of Texas. And it was a business degree, accounting. Mm-hmm. And then you worked there for a bit and then went, you went to seminary.
Correct.
And in what state was that?
That was Mississippi.
Mississippi. Okay, and then you somehow found your way to SGA, but I don't remember the exact details. And you also were on the mission field somewhere in South America where you met your wife. And so I'm giving just a little bit so that he can fill in the details real quick when he gets up here. And I have known Keenan for a few years. I don't remember exactly how long it's been, but he works at SGA, and we've had multiple correspondences, particularly email, but a few other occasions as well. So we're delighted to have him come and share with us and stimulate our thinking with regard to having an outreach mentality. And it's real easy for us to get focused in on ourselves. Is that not true? And think that the world revolves around us. And every now and then it's helpful for us to kind of get pulled out of our complacency and be reminded that there's more to the world than just us, or that we have a task to do in terms of sharing with the world, not keeping it all to ourselves. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will turn Keenan loose to share with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've been able to enjoy together, for the fellowship, for the enjoyment of the food that gave us a taste of another culture, and an appreciation for the similarities and differences, and also just a reminder that there's a world outside of our own little world that we want to have some understanding of and some appreciation for. And sometimes that world is much closer than what we think. Sometimes it's next door or just up the street or the other side of town or maybe the other side of the country or sometimes around the world. And so we just pray that you'll help us to give some thought to those kinds of things and to stimulate our thinking as it relates to your call and your cause. And so we thank you now for the ministry of SGA and for the work that they have been doing, and that we can be a part of that outreach in Russia. And so we just thank you now for what you're going to accomplish in and through us, and how you're going to speak to us through your word this evening. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Mr. Keenan Beer.
Well, good evening to you. The food was excellent, so thank you very much. Makes me want to go back to Russia again. You know, I it's wonderful food and wonderful fellowship, so thank you. Just to kind of fill in a little bit of biography, when I was in seminary, I had never been on a mission trip in my life before. And so I kind of looked at a map and said, well, where should I go? And ended up going to Brazil. And spent about a summer in Brazil, and that is where I met my wife. So that was back in 2000. We ended up getting married in 2005, so we've been married for 8 years, and have one son who's 4, and another son who we do have a son, but he will be born around July or so. His due date's July 4th. So that kind of fills in things a bit. Ended up at SGA after seminary. I was looking for to work within a church, and no doors were opening, and I was wanting to marry this woman who I had already proposed to, and somehow my father-in-law said, well, if you want to marry her, you need a job. So ended up hearing about Slavic Gospel having an opening as an accountant. And my undergraduate is in business and accounting, and so started working for SGA and worked in their accounting area for about, I don't remember exactly, 4 or 5 years, and I've been working on the ministry side of things for about 4 or 5 years or so. And I've been there 10 years, but don't remember the exact split. So that's kind of a bit of my background. I also want to come and say thank you so much for your involvement in Belgorod. For just the countless years you've been involved in the ministries there, supporting the brothers and sisters there. It's easy to go over one time. It's easy to do one Christmas outreach and do one little thing, but to continue doing this year after year after year after year after year, I want to say thank you so much. You know, I know that you are having an impact there in Belgorod. There is a bit of information about Slavic Gospel Association in the back. There is a board here, a display board. Everything you see on the table is free. There is a book about prayer that the founder of SGA wrote. His name is Peter Danica. There's also a biography of his life written by his daughter. It's quite good. So whatever you'd like. If you'd like to sign up, there's also, we send out a monthly newsletter that basically just gives stories and testimonies of what God is doing in the lands of Russia. Tomorrow morning, I'll focus a little more about how SGA fits into the whole scenario and share some testimonies and give you a little bit of an update about Belgorod. But this evening, I want to look at a passage of Scripture. Just to really encourage our thinking here. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And sort of the theme to some extent, as Pastor David and I were talking about, what's a good theme for this sort of mini conference? The theme we came up with was living life proclaiming Christ. Living life, proclaiming Christ. That our lives are to be about proclaiming Christ. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, just these few verses, and verses starting in verse 13 through 16. Well-known verses. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think back in the book of Exodus. You remember when God descended upon Mount Sinai and how there was just fire and thunder, and all of Israel knew that God had showed up, that God was present. Now, can you imagine, let's say today, if something like that were to happen? Let's say over at Empire State Building, what would it be like if God descended with smoke and fire upon the Empire State Building, and for 3 months, you know, just His glory appeared before everyone? What would it be like? Well, I don't know exactly, but here's my guess. That everyone would come to this building long after God's presence went up. That people would go to this building and then make it into an idol. And they would go and they would leave things, and people would do pilgrimages here. And even those who saw, you know, fire and smoke, their lives wouldn't be changed. They'd still cheat on their taxes, they'd still lie, they'd still do all sorts of things, and their lives utterly wouldn't change. They wouldn't read their Bible. And you know, we see one thing within Scripture, all of Scripture, that God's primary means of acting in this world, God's primary means of changing people's lives is through us. It's through us, His people, His disciples, His followers. It's through us. That's the way that God primarily works. It's not in these spectacular things like this. It's primarily through us. And sometimes we feel like Moses. Maybe you feel like this, and I do. The Lord's calling us to reach out to someone, and we say, Lord, someone else. Can you send someone else? Not me, please. Not me. Lord, I want to see this individual's life change. Just send someone else. Someone at their work. But God's method is to send us. The primary way that the gospel is proclaimed is through us. Especially as we are being transformed by Him. So let's look at our passage here in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says that, starts out, that you are the salt of the earth. Now I know there's various ways that people have taken this aspect of being salt. They talk about being sort of a flavor enhancer. But one of the ways I seem to take it, and it seems a lot of evidence for this, is that of how salt was used back then to preserve things, to purify things. If, perhaps you had a wound, one of the things you would do is you'd dip that wound into salt water, and it would purify. Or if you had some meat that you were going to preserve, from any sort of bacteria and decay, it was salt. It removed the toxins. It stopped the decay. I think that same sort of that same way that salt is used. If you turn quickly, just to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verses 49 and 50. It's again Jesus speaking here. And I'm going to read it first, this verse within, what it says. And then the second time I read it, I'm going to read it substituting salt with purifying agent or purity. And I think you can kind of see how the sense goes here. For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season again? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. And that aspect, when it says season, that's also the aspect of salt. You see that in the Greek there. So let me read that again, and you can just see how this salt is related to purifying, stopping the decay. For everyone will be salted with fire, or I'm sorry, everyone will be purified with fire, and every sacrificed will be purified, be made pure with a purifying agent. Purity is good, but if the purifying agent loses its ability to purify it, how will it become a purifying agent? Have purity in yourself and have peace with one another. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, but if you were to read this out of like the New American Standard, it really fits quite well that aspect of salt is to bring purity. And you see, in our world, and even back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, so much is in decay. So much of our world is in decay. Isaiah wrote, "Why should you be stricken again? Why do you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. Alas, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corrupt." Are corrupt. That aspect of decay, of decaying. And God's primary, God sent to stop this decay, God sent the prophets. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. God sent the apostles with the good news. And God sends us to stop this decay. And we stop this through the gospel as we teach, as we share the gospel. Give you an illustration. When I moved into our new home, this is back in 2008, so it wasn't that new. My first introduction to one of our neighbors was this grandfather shouting at the top of his lungs to his grandchildren, you know, from down the street, you know, just yelling at his grandchildren. And I thought, you know, how sad. How sad, you know, the grandfather would treat his grandchildren just like this. And it broke my heart to see this. And, you know, I need to realize, God, you've placed me here. It's no accident that I'm here right across the street from these two grandparents. God, you have sent me here to make an impact, to share Christ. We're here. We're here. God has placed us here to stop the decay, to purify. Going back again to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus talks about the light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. What is light? Well, the motif you see in the New Testament is light, is truth, knowledge, wisdom, clarity, purity, holiness. You know, and Scripture talks about how we, all of us, were once in darkness, once without wisdom, once without purity, once unclean, without knowledge. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, I'll just read it. You don't need to turn there necessarily. But it says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And those of us who accepted Christ, later on in life, I accepted Christ when I was 20 or so. You know, before that, wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Wanted nothing to do with Him. And God, how God, in His miraculous way, has changed my heart and brought you into His light. And now we are His light to proclaim the gospel. And God shines through us, through our hearts, through our lives, His good news, His truth, His wisdom, His holiness. And that's what we are to be to the world. And I want to share a quick testimony here of one individual. Let's see, how do I turn this on? Am I? It is? Do I? Oh, let's go back. There we go. I want to share a quick testimony of an individual whom I have a lot of respect for. He's in his last year at finishing at a Bible institute in Kazakhstan. His name is Nikolai, and I'm going to slaughter, unfortunately, the last name. Though I work for Slavic Gospel, my Russian's not that great. Harmatsyev. And just hear his story of how God had brought him into His light. Again, this is his last year studying at a Bible institute that we support in Almaty, Kazakhstan. He talks about growing up as a child, and he was quite a brilliant child. In fact, when after graduating from high school, he had received all sorts of awards and as he went into college, he was just a very, very gifted child or student. He ended up working as a teacher, studying nuclear physics, and worked for, I guess, a pedagogical institute in Kazakhstan. Went on for postgraduate studies in the Academy of Nuclear Physics, worked in the Nuclear Physics Institute as the general director of the Science Academy Department. I don't know what that means, but this guy is a smart cookie. Extremely smart cookie. And he says this, that in spite of my high position in the secular world, this life brought me a sort of disappointment. He was an avid drinker, drank vodka, and was a very, very proud atheist. I was not happy, and my life was getting worse and worse. I needed something more that would bring peace for my soul. One day, my wife, Valentina, heard the good news about God who sent His Son to die for our sins. A bit later, my wife came to Christ, and half a year later, my 14-year-old daughter came to Jesus. Then it happened in December 24th, 2000. No one could change my life. Only Jesus has changed my life absolutely. After repentance, our family life was changed, and I came to the Lord at age 53. And just see, I mean, you know, here, again, brought from the darkness, this person who had wanted nothing to do with the Lord, and how he was changed radically. And listen to how Christ shines through him here. Soon after he came to Christ, he went to his native homeland of Belarus. There he preached the gospel and shared with people how I was saved by God. At the meeting, 36 people repented and trusted the Savior. My relatives saw that my family and I were changed. We stopped drinking vodka, and it was a strong testimony for my relatives that only God is able to change a sinner like me. Before, I was a very proud atheist, but when Jesus saved me, my relatives started to meditate about who God is that's able to change people like me. The gospel transformed him. And now, essentially, the light of Jesus is shining through him. So as we look at our life, I think oftentimes we're a bit disappointed. I'm saying this as my own self, to say, you know, I'm not spreading the salt. I'm not shining the light. I'm not really having an impact in those around me, in my neighborhood, those at work. How do I become more used by God? You know, how can I stop the decay? How can I become more bold? How can I shine the light of the gospel? Is it just try harder? Just give it more effort? Well, let's go back again to Matthew there. You know, it's no accident that that this passage comes right after the Beatitudes. And, you know, the Beatitudes, of course, talks about what godly character is. It talks about what godly character is. And so it's not just what you do. You know, the Beatitudes focuses on the heart, who we should be. Those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn over sin, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so all throughout Scripture, you see that God is focused on our heart primarily. And it's out of our heart and the things that are in our heart that flow our actions. Think about there in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, what comes out of our mouth is from our heart. And I would say, you know, it's true for even here. You know, the Lord says here, you are the salt. It's your identity. It's who you are. You are the light. It's your identity. It's who we are. And we're either going to be good salt and light, or we're going to be bad salt and light. The question is, do we accept that responsibility? And how do we shine that light? By letting God continually transform our heart. And I'll tell you, it's oftentimes as God's working our life and God's changing us, even taking us through very, very difficult times, that He shines the brightest. You know, as we go through difficulty, it's not just putting on a smiley face and saying, well, how are you doing to those people around us at work or neighbors? It's being real with them and talking about how God is making an impact in our life, how God is changing our thinking, how the good news of Jesus Christ is good news to us, how God is reforming us in our marriage. You know, what He's doing as God transforms us, as God's transforming us, that's how He uses us. You know, He shines through us as we are real with those unbelievers who are around us. And Jesus gives a scary warning here in verse 13 and in verse 15. Second part there. And it's a challenge to us. You know, it's a challenge to me. You know, that if we become dull in the Lord, if God's not changing us, sanctifying us. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned again? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. If we are not the salt of the earth, stopping decay, if we're having no impact in our neighborhoods around us, if God is not changing our hearts and shining through us, we're road dust. We're useless. Verse 15, you know, no one puts up a light under a... No, they don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. We become foolish. What are we here for? You know, it's really scary words to hear. You're useless. You're not being changed. And it's a warning to me. It's a warning to me. And part of the problem is, and I find this in my own life and heart, we become so consumed with our own responsibilities of the day. I find that as a challenge with me now. You know, having a four-year-old son, having a baby on the way, having a home, repairs, all these kinds of things, it's so easy to become inwardly focused. And just to forget the world outside, to forget our neighbors. I have this place to go. I can't talk to them. I have this thing to do. It's not convenient right now to talk with them, even though they're outside. And we see evangelism not as a way of life, sharing Christ not as a way of life, but something that we just merely do on occasion. No, our lives are to speak boldly. Who are we to display Christ to? Who are we to be salt and light to? Well, think of your lives as concentric circles. You have those relationships that are most close, like wife, children, husbands, parents. And then that next circle, those we see on a regular basis, neighbors and coworkers. You know, the most impact we should have, the most we should be salt and light most to those who are our family, those we see, those we live with. And then, you know, going out, these co-workers and neighbors, and then those we see on occasion, those at the grocery store or the barber. And I find sometimes it's easy to be a witness to those we see every once in a while. You know, every month or so, it's easy to be a witness to the person you sit next to on the plane. But can we really be a witness to our families? Do they see Christ in us? Do they see the gospel in us? Do we shine the light of Christ? I remember a number of years ago being at Walmart and walking down the aisle and again seeing an individual having, you know, yelling at their family and their kids and, you know, just being pretty horrible. And then as I walked by, you know, then they were in the center, he said, "Oh, look, excuse me. He was very, very, very nice to me, but very hard and difficult for his family. And I think sometimes it's kind of the same thing for us, that it's easier, like I said, to shine Christ to people we don't know, talk about Christ, but to our families, to those who know us best, it's oftentimes more difficult. How are we to display Christ? Well, Paul says in Colossians 4, he asks people to the church in Colossae to pray for him. And he gives them this challenge. Walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt. There's that salt picture again. That you may know how to respond, or that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So our words are to be pointing people to Christ, to the good news, to His truth. How else? Besides our words, again, going back to Matthew 5, verse 16. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, your fitting works, your beautiful works, your right works. And that as they see your lives, as they see my life, and you know the neighbors and different people should see this in my life, in your life. They shouldn't only just hear the words, the things that come out of our mouth, but they should see that in our life, that they may give glory to our Father in heaven. If we only have words, but no actions, only words, but no actions, we're hypocrites. Only actions and no words, we're just nice people. You're always doing the nice thing, always doing the good thing, but not really pointing towards Christ. We're just nice people. Our words and our actions should meet. And again, this just should bleed from our lives. You know, the gospel should just bleed from our lives. Let's see. I want to share one additional testimony here. Let's see. There we go. A man by the name of Alexander Novoselov. And listen to how the gospel just bleeds through his life. I mean, being a witness is second nature. It's someone he is, not just something he does. Alexander was born into a non-Christian family, a relatively poor family. And his dream growing up was to have a very good job and to make lots of money as an adult. Well, he did this. He went to the university, studied in trade and marketing, and he ended up opening up his own business and became extremely successful and made lots of money. But at that point in time, he was also married. And he talks about how his marriage just fell apart and how his life, even though he was making quite a bit of money, his life just was falling apart. Mentions about how his wife and him just used to get into horrible, horrible arguments. He said that his wife began to attend the Baptist church in town, and he noticed that she changed a lot. And so then he came to church with her and heard the gospel. And there at church, he heard the gospel and repented of his sins and asked God to forgive his sins and to sincerely lead his life. So at that point in time, he dedicated his life to the Lord. And now he is a pastor in southern Siberia in Krasnoyarsk. And just getting to know him and hearing some of his stories, it's just amazing, you know, how God has used him. He shares a story back in this past springtime, I guess spring a year ago, that he and a few brothers and believers were on their way from Krasnoyarsk to Moscow, which is by car, and it was just a number of day journey. And they ended up being pulled over by the police. Well, you know, of course, when we're pulled over by the police, it's yes, sir, no, sir, make the conversation as quick as possible. For Alexander, that wasn't the case. He got into a conversation and got into talking about spiritual matters and shared the gospel with the police and gave them a New Testament. It's his life. He shares another story about being with a number of other pastors who were on a three-day train trip from Krasnoyarsk. They were going to a conference. And on the train, they sat near two women. And they shared the gospel with these two women. And so for the rest, and these two women prayed and received Christ as their Savior. And so they talk about how this last, over the next few days, until they got to their destination, they just shared scripture and sang with them. And, you know, God, you know, the next 3 days we spent time in the train together, prayed together, read songs, read the Bible. We gave them our address in our, of the churches, and urged them to attend church regularly. You get to know Alexander and hear these stories. Just, and these are not just once every 3 years kind of stories. I mean, they happen, you know, regularly. Recently he shared that it was this past winter that he was driving with another pastor. And it was during the dead of winter, and they ran out of fuel. And in that part of the world, it gets pretty cold. It was about 40 degrees, negative 40 degrees Celsius. So Celsius, it's still cold, you know, with Fahrenheit, whatever conversion. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but didn't do the conversion, but it's cold. Well, the other pastor left the car to go find help. So Alexander's sitting there in the car, and he prays because it started getting cold on the inside of the vehicle as well. Pretty dangerous. So I prayed to God for help. Soon a car pulled over, which doesn't often happen here. But, you know, by God's grace, someone pulled over. And the driver invited me into his car to warm up. Then, of course, what happened? They get into a spiritual conversation. Talked about spiritual matters. The person said that they did not accept Christ as their Savior, but you were very, very interested in what Alexander had to say. And Alexander gave, of course, his contact information and various things like that to follow up. But again, you know, you just see through this man's life, and not only this man's life, but so many of the believers there. Maybe you've seen this in Belgorod, how the gospel is so important, and every opportunity they have to share Christ, they do it. And it's just so natural. It bleeds from their life. The light of Christ shines through them. So again, God calls us. I mean, God is at work in this world. God is at work in this world, redeeming people, you know, stopping the decay, changing people's hearts. The gospel is shining in this world. But how is it shining? God's primary agent, again, is us. You and me. Each one of us. The question, again, is do we accept this responsibility? And how do we do this? How do we shine the light of Christ? Again, it is God working in our hearts. We don't necessarily need all the answers. We don't have to do this perfect, per se. Answer every question. But as people see that our lives are being transformed by God, how He is first place in our life, how the gospel is good news, that He will shine through us and change people through us. So let us go and be bold and accept this responsibility and open our lives and open our mouth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we think about this call, we see a tremendous responsibility. And Lord, we also recognize that we are very inadequate. Father, I pray that you would use this church, not just the pastor, not just the leaders, but each person of this church, no matter what age, to proclaim Christ, to share the good news. And that through our lives, as people hear what we have to say and as they see our lives, God, I pray that you would change hearts in this community. Father God, we need you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, again for the good news of Jesus Christ. We lay our life before Him. Use us, Lord, mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.